It's good that we can all be together and worship God together this morning. Beautiful day. And it's really nice to have the Pattons with us from Tampa, Florida. And Steve and I, we went to school together many years ago. And Steve's older brother. And Steve called the other morning, said they were headed this way, and it was really great to hear his voice and be able to see this morning. And hope you guys have a nice trip this week up to Alaska. And this morning, Dan and Barbara walked in, and so it's great to see Dan and Barbara Bass after they have moved to Atlanta, and Tricia with them. So welcome to all of you. I'm sure many of us have wondered when we have visitors in our services the first time, just how much they are able to get out of worship. We could understand that maybe some of the things that we do and the reason why we do them, they may not fully understand and appreciate why we partake of the Lord's Supper. The songs that we sing, they may not be familiar to them. The prayers that we offer might not understand the people that we're praying for, the things that we're requesting. Some of the scriptures in the sermons they may not be familiar with. So we can understand a first-time visitor walking away from service, and hopefully they wouldn't do this, but could understand if they said, I really didn't get much out of coming to church today. We might even see that a new Christian, a babe in Christ, might have some of that same not understanding fully. When a person becomes a Christian, we need to have first principle studies and try to understand why we do the things that we do in our worship. to follow God's will, to worship the way God wants us to worship with the proper attitude. But when there are Christians who have been in Christ for some length of time and have experienced these things, it is, to me, a matter of concern and to hear a Christian, if there were Christians who were to come and participate and to walk out and maybe even express some of that to someone else, you know, I just don't get very much out of our worship or out of our Bible classes. And to me, that would be sad. Isn't that not sad and alarming to hear that coming from one who is a Christian, who has been in Christ for any length of time? But the question that I want to put to each of us this morning is this question: isn't it true that we get something out of an experience when we put something into it? I mean, that is true in almost anything that we do in life. And so there really is no excuse for a child of God to come to Bible study or worship service bringing nothing, putting nothing in preparation, but then expecting something out of worship and experience and Bible study. That they're almost mindlessly coming to worship, but then putting nothing in, how are we to expect then to get something out of it? That is my question that I want for you to think about this morning. There are so many scriptures throughout the Bible that deal with devotion to God, worship of God. And they speak to the issue, to the importance of worship itself and of the attitude and the preparation that we bring when we come to worship God, when we enter into worship of God. That there is an attitude, there is a mind that we are to bring with us and to have prepared ourselves in some way to come and be ready to worship God. And I would like to call your attention, first of all, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 for a moment. And he said there, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I believe Solomon was the writer here, but he said, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." Now this word that he says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, to proceed with reverence, to enter in carefully when we come into the worship of God, is an important thing, because this is a serious matter of coming into worship God. It is very important for us to understand that we're coming into the presence of God Himself. And to keep that in mind when you go to the house of God. And how many people are there who come week after week not coming with this type of prudence, not having given thought and preparation of, we are entering into worship of God this morning. We need to be very careful about that, I think, that we are entering into the worship of God, because he speaks here to not give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. God does not smile upon us coming into worship just mindlessly, thoughtlessly, and then attempting to offer up worship unto God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, Peter, in the reading, thank you, Gary, for the reading this morning. He said, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action." I'm reading this as out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. Some translation, it says, "girding up your loins of your mind." And that is an older term there that is used in the Greek language, which is kind of brings a military sense about that. But he's talking about the mind. Preparing your minds for action is a good way of stating that. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it is a very active word that he is using here when he talks about preparing your minds for action. Peter is saying that no matter what we do as Christians, we're devoting ourselves to God, we're living for God, we're serving God, we're worshiping God, that we need to prepare our minds for action. It's an active thing that we are doing. It's very much of a mental exercise that requires effort and preparation on our mind in order to prepare ourselves to do it properly. So we get up. There are physical aspects of coming to worship and entering into worship that we get ourselves up, we come, we are here, and that's very important. And we open the songbook and we are singing to God. And we are praying to God and we are partaking of the Lord's Supper in the elements of the Lord's Supper as we have done this morning. But Peter is saying that we must be entering into this with our minds prepared for action. And so in those things that we are doing, in order for us to get out from it, we need to put something into it. And that's that preparation, that mental preparation of the importance of what we are doing, each one of these things, concentrating and thinking about the significance of the meaning of those words that we are singing in the songs, that there is a being prepared as we come that is so important and so vital to the proper exercise of our worship with God. And I want to just say it this way, to that truthful worship is mindful worship. Whenever we want to worship God properly, there is a preparation that we need to be making. And it's always been that way as far as God is concerned. Because if we look back into the Old Testament, and I want to call attention a few examples that come from the Old Testament, but in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23, as the Israelites were on their way to Mount Sinai, God began preparing them for how they were to observe the Sabbath. And introducing that concept to them. Of course, they understand in the background of this that in 6 days God created the earth, and on the seventh day God rested. But there's no evidence of observing the Sabbath up through that period of time. But here we come into Exodus chapter 16, and verse 23, God began introducing that to them, that on the seventh day would be a day of rest. But notice what he said, that this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves that which remains to be kept until morning. So on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread. They baked twice as much bread. They were preparing for the day to come in advance. So it was not the time for the Israelites to start preparing for the Sabbath when the Sabbath day had already come. They were to begin preparing for that the day before. And they were preparing themselves in their bodies, they were preparing themselves in their minds, and in preparing this food ahead of time, so that when the Sabbath day came, they were prepared for that. A little bit later, when they did come to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19, the Lord said to Moses, he said, "Go to the people," this is Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 and 11, And going on down through verse 16, he is preparing them and talking with them about God is going to be coming down to encounter God. You're going to be encountering God here on Mount Sinai. And notice what he said, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of the people." So again, they did not prepare on the day that God was coming down on the mountain. They began preparing 2 days ahead of time for that. The significance of it, the importance of it. And as you read on down, you find that when God did come down on the mountain and began to appear to the Israelites, that it was a frightful thing. The clouds surrounded the mountain. There was the loud trumpet was sounding, and the people trembled because they were encountering God. There was then a very sobering experience. There was a preparation, though, that they went into getting themselves ready ahead of time for what was coming, that they were going to be meeting with God. So I think we find examples of that throughout the Scriptures, that the importance of worshiping God, of entering into the presence of God, is not something that we enter into without any preparation of mind, or that we enter into casually. You know, some of us do church like we do lunch, almost. I mean, there's no preparation, it's casual. We don't have any planning that goes into it. And the result is we don't get much out of it when we do it this way. God intended, though, that His people, when we would come to worship, we would understand certain things about God, who He is, with a reverence. And we are preparing ourselves ahead of time for what we're getting ready to do. We're preparing to worship God. And that doesn't begin Sunday morning at 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning as we are frantically getting ourselves ready to come. And frankly, sometimes about the only preparation that some families, and I can understand that, is they're trying to get the kids all dressed. They're trying to get everything ready to get out the door and just to be here. But I believe that we need to be giving thought that we are coming to worship God. That this is an important thing. This is a serious matter. And it's something that God has always required of His people, that we would come prepared for the significance, the spiritual nature of what we are entering into. The Levitical tribe, the Levites, they were set apart under the law of Moses. And in Numbers 8 and 20 and 21, he's according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so the children of Israel did to them. And the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. So there was a lot of preparation that took place ahead of time before the Levites went into the tabernacle or the temple to perform their service in worship to God. And then we come to it in the book of Psalms. There's so much that is said here about the worship of God. And in Psalm 15, he begins and says, "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." Now he's picturing here the people of the worshipers of Israel as they would be coming up Mount Zion, approaching the temple in Jerusalem. That what are they thinking? What would they be thinking about in their minds, that they are preparing themselves? Who may enter the holy hill of the Lord? There are certain requirements. There are certain characteristics that are required of God to be able to do this, to come and worship Him. He only will accept a certain type of worshiper coming into His presence to worship Him. It is not something to enter into without that type of preparation, that type of mental effort on our part to understand what we are doing. Now, even Jesus and His disciples, whenever they were preparing for the Passover, you remember how Jesus instructed them? And in Mark chapter 14, beginning with verse 12, it said, "Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, His disciples said to Him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' And He sent out two of His disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water and follow him.'" And He described what they were going to see coming into Jerusalem. And it goes on to say that the two disciples, they went, and they found it exactly as Jesus said. And then there was this house, this room that this man had the agreement that they would be using this for the Passover. It said, "So His disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as He had said to them, and they prepared the Passover." Well, they were getting ready for the day of the Passover and the worshiping of God. And so they did that in advance. I find that is significant. That when we start preparing ourselves to worship, when do we start preparing to worship God? Again, 1 Peter is saying here, therefore preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. I've attended several congregations that have done this, and maybe you have too, that and it really wouldn't work here in our building. We have so many windows and light coming in. But I've been in several congregations where about 5 minutes before the worship is going to begin, sometimes maybe 10 minutes, they dim the lights down. And people will then understand that means it's time to get ready for worship. And you'll see them, they'll go into their seats, they'll stop talking, they'll get their Bible out, they'll get their worship out, they will be preparing themselves for worshiping, the importance of it. And I understand that's just an outward thing, but it shows that there is some preparation that we each should be doing as we are about to worship God. When is the time to begin worshiping God? That we're preparing our minds for action, we're girding up the loins of your mind. God is saying here, this is important, get this right in your mind when we are about to come here to worship God. And I would say that if we stay up late Saturday night and we come dragging into worship on Sunday morning, that we're not able to be prepared to worship God. That there needs to be more preparation that we are doing mentally to get ourselves in the frame of mind of the importance of what we are doing as we enter into worship with God. I have no right to tell anyone what you need to be doing on Saturday night or how you spend your time. But I'm just making the point that when we come to worship God, we need to be preparing ahead of time. The sacred importance of entering into the presence of God. In Psalm 1, the very first psalm, notice how he begins this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He goes on to say that this man is going to be very fruitful in his life, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatever he does will prosper, and he will bring forth fruit in its season. But here is a man of God, a godly person, that first of all, they know the difference between the people who are living in sin and living in wickedness and doing those things that are wrong, and the way of life that God requires of us. And they reflect that in their life day in and day out. They meditate on the Word of God. They delight in the law of God. And that person coming into worship God, they have that mental frame of God in their mind has already been preparing throughout the week to come and worship God. Understanding certain things about how important that is in the life of every Christian. What was it about the noble Bereans in the book of Acts chapter 17 in Thessalonica? Paul came into the Thessalonica and he was preaching in the synagogues. And it said these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and search the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Those were people that were keenly interested. They were devoutly searching their scriptures, seeking the truth, and wanting to know about the Messiah and the coming of Christ. And they were willing to take the time to go home to search their scriptures to find out if these things that the apostles were saying were the Word of God, and if so, to obey the gospel and follow Christ. I just want to say then that profitable worship requires proper preparation. And that is for each of us. That is an individual responsibility. That we have some responsibility before we arrive to worship service. That we are preparing ourselves mentally before we come. And that may start a day or two. It may be in our mind throughout the entire week. As a spiritually minded, godly person, we think about that a lot. We think about that all the time, the importance of God and meeting with God and worshiping Him. To many people, I think today, we come prepared to be a spectator. We have that attitude of we want to watch and we expect something is going to be provided for us. But we are there more as a bystander, as a spectator. We need to be preparing to come as workers, as active, that there is something for us all to be doing in the kingdom of God, to edify one another, to reach out to speak to each other, to welcome those who are coming, to lead in the worship, to lead the singing, to wait at the head of the table, to lead in prayer. There is something for each one of us to be doing, and we come prepared with that mind. But there is also a preparing to respond to God in worship, that God is speaking to us through these songs, through these scriptures. Everything that we do, there's a purpose behind it to draw us closer to Him, to have us appreciate more His greatness and His desire for us to be saved and spend eternity with Him, to have a relationship with God. Worship is meant that as we meet with God, we are going to take away far more than we bring. God is going to enter into us and we are going to leave uplifted and prepared to go out and render further daily effort of service in glorification unto God. We come prepared to edify each other. And that is one of the aspects. I think it's so encouraging when we read in Matthew 18 and verse 20. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them." And the beauty of that being that when we come together, Christ is here. Is Christ with us this morning? I hope so. I hope that He is here. That is why we have come. That Christ is here with us. But we need to come with a mental preparation, as Peter puts it, that our minds ready for action. I like that expression. That we are ready to enter into action, ready to enter into worship with God. And if you're here this morning, thank you for being here. Thank you for your kind attention. And that is a lesson, a reminder for us all, for myself as well as any of the rest of us, that we need to have that mental preparation whenever we are approaching God in our worship. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, we hope that you'll respond to the invitation of Jesus this morning to come together, to come to Him, to believe in Christ, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Him, be buried in baptism, raised up to walk in newness of life. Those are the gospel requirements of each of us. The life of a Christian is such a beautiful thing. And we have this great privilege of being able to come and worship God on the first day of every week. So we're going to stand and sing the song of invitation. If you're subject in any way, let us know how we can assist you while we stand and sing.
There's a fountain freezes for you and me.